Hi and welcome to SCL, the Subject Composition and Light Photography Podcast. My name's Rob from robnumphoto.com and this is my little audio diary about my journey through the wonderful world of photography. Hope everybody's had a great week. I've been really busy this week at work, really busy. As you probably know, I worked for Machine Mark, which is a chain of power tool and machinery stores. We sell everything from compressors to welders to spanners to sockets to gardening equipment, woodworking equipment, metalworking equipment, loads of different stuff. Look up Machine Mart. Go to machinemart.co.uk to see the sort of stuff we do. But we run on quite small teams, and this week we've had our catalogue change. So every 6 months the catalogue changes, and this is when we do all our price changes. And as you can imagine, with the changes in the economies over the last year or so, the increases in petrol and stuff, there's been a lot of price changes. And we're also a company that rather unusually still prices up every single thing we have on the shelves. So everything has a sticker on with a price. So a catalogue change involves changing an awful lot of those prices. So it's a pretty big job to do. And it's taken us several days to do it. It's pretty mind-numbing as well, as you can imagine, with these big packs of stickers we've got to go around and find the products. And you think you know where something is until you can look for it. It can take ages, but we've just finished that today, so that's good. So it's kind of back to normal tomorrow. It's a bank holiday Monday here in the UK, the last one of the summer. And in fact, as I was wandering around today, you could see the trees have started to drop quite a few of their leaves. Well, not a few, have started to drop some leaves, and a few of them are turning brown as well. So before we know it, we'll be into the autumn, or the fall, as our colonial cousins call it across the pond. And we'll have a load new of photographic opportunities as the colours start to change. So start to look out for those too. I'm sitting downstairs recording this in our dining room in Elson, Gosport in the UK. Just been flicking through one of my favourite photo books, The Americans, photos by Robert Frank, which is, I guess you'd call it a bit like a photo essay. It's a photo book of a load of photos that Robert Frank took as he journeyed across America in the 1950s. Groundbreaking in its way. Street photography, not just of people, but of buildings and all sorts of situations. Really interesting book to look at and read if you get your hands on it at the local library. Buy a new copy. It's very cheap on Amazon.co.uk and Amazon.com. In fact, I'm sure I've talked about The Americans before. Really nice book. But what I'd like to talk about today is my and Suzanne's day out with Valentino, our grandson, on Friday, where I went out and managed to take over 300 photographs in about 3 hours as we went out and took Valentino down to Leon Solent and Stanley Park in Gosport. Before that, a quick word from our sponsors, GoToMeeting. GoToMeeting is all about conference calls. So it's really a business tool, but if you're ever in a situation where you need to speak to a group of people at once, maybe it's colleagues in the same company, maybe it's your bosses, maybe it's people in another company who could be just down the road, they could be potential clients on another continent. One of the ways to do it is obviously to drive there or fly there or take the train and have great costs, both in terms of the expense, but also time as well, because I have a conference call. But the problem with ordinary conference calls, if you've ever been on one, is that they're awfully boring. You're sitting there on the end of the phone, listening in to somebody else, and instead of really doing what you're meant to be doing, half the time you'll just be reading the paper, checking out the latest Facebook messages, and generally not really getting that involved. However, with GoToMeeting, what you can do is really involve people in your conference call. Because with the new HD Faces feature, you can have up to 6 people, it may even be 8, go to GoToMeeting to check it out, all at the same time, where you can see people's faces. So it's proper, high-definition video conferencing, and the quality really is fantastic. But not only can you see each other's faces, you can also see the desktop as well, so everybody who's in the meeting can see what's on your computer, on your desktop, so they can see the minutes of the meeting, they can see the pictures, they can see the plans, they can see the designs, they can see the ideas you've got. And it really is very powerful indeed. And most organisations find that by doing conference calls this way, with GoToMeeting, they save so much money, basically, in terms of conference calls become more productive. People actually get involved and do the things that they want to do. And in terms of sales pitches and things, because you're looking your client in the face. But if you don't believe me, all you've got to do is visit the URL gotomeeting.com, click on the try it free button, and enter the promo code podcast. So go to meeting.com, click on the try it free button, and enter the promo code podcast, and that'll get you in for 30 days. You can try it out, and if you like it, become a subscriber. I'm sure you will. So on Friday, I had a day off, and as you know, we've got Valentino over from Spain, our I think he's about 18 months old now, grandson. And Suzanne and I were lucky enough to be able to take him out for the afternoon. So we threw him in the car seat and raced down to Lee. It was a beautiful day. And I packed my 350D, my two lenses, the 18 to 55, or 17 to 55, I can never remember. I was getting confused, IS and the 55 to 250, various spare batteries. Oh, very tired. It's about 9:10, but I've been up since 6 o'clock this morning because there was some car boots on. But I didn't actually get anything, which is a bit disappointing. But you never know. We'll see what can come up next week. And so we went down to the coast, and I had my over-shoulder low-pro photo runner bag, and my 350D digital SLR was on the RS7 Black Rapid strap that I've got. And I've used the Black Rapid strap quite a lot now, and I'm really happy to say that it is an excellent alternative to the round-the-neck offerings that normally come with the cameras. Because it goes around your shoulder like a bandolier, and the camera kind of slides up and down on a carabiner, it really is very easy to use, and it makes the camera, it balances quite nice on your hip, especially if you are using an over-the-shoulder bag, because the bag kind of cushions how far the camera will go back, and when you want to use it, you just pull it up. Also, it makes the camera a lot less obtrusive and obvious. You know, when you're wandering around, you've got a camera around your neck, it's sitting there on your chest, isn't it? And you feel a bit self-conscious as you turn around, it swings. But with the RS7, or any of the Black Rapid R straps, the camera's right down low, and so people can't see it. So that has been a great success that way. So we were down there, and Valentino's a little boy, good at running about, and I love taking pictures of kids like that. But what I wanted to do was really capture the essence of his day out, the fun he was having, the movement. And this involves shooting blind an awful lot. Because when an 18-month-old kiddie is running along the beach or running anywhere, you can't sort of stop and look through the viewfinder or look at the live view screen on the back, because they're gone. You know, you've got to be running along as well, and you've got to be watching them, because they have a tendency to wander off to places they shouldn't do, so you've got to grab them or they might fall over. And so my technique really is to hold the camera fairly close to the ground, probably only about a foot off the ground. Set it quite wide angle, somewhere between 18 and 30 millimetres. I didn't use continuous shooting this time, but you can use continuous shooting. Aperture priority mode. Set the aperture to about F8, so your depth of field is pretty large, so you've got a fighting chance of getting everything in focus. And setting the ISO to a figure whereby your shutter speed is going to be pretty high. Now, it was a very sunny day on Friday, so even at F8 and an ISO of, I think, 200 or 100 even, my shutter speed was around about 250th to 500th of a second and above when we were down at the beach, which is more than enough to freeze the action in most cases. And any of the blurring I tended to get in the photos was more a case of focus being off than anything else. And that's because I was shooting blind. And the trick whenever you're doing anything like this is sort of, if you imagine Valentino running along the boardwalk, if you like, and me running sort of in front of him with Suzanne pushing the baby, the stroller in the background, the trick is just to put the camera down low and just fire away, click, 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 moving the camera up and down, looking at the back of the screen occasionally just to check your composition to make sure you're not completely out, you know, and focusing on the wrong thing, because you'd be really surprised how much of the scene you can fit in when you're pretty close with a nice wide-angle lens. Excuse me, I've got a few of the sniffles today as well. And that worked very well. But what I did come across that was quite interesting was one of my techniques that I would normally also use is I would use the pop-up flash. And I'll put the pop-up flash off, and this really helps it does a couple of things. It helps freeze the action, and it also puts a nice catch light in the eyes and lights up the subject. But the problem today was that the sun was too bright. Right, bear with me. I just wander into the kitchen just to get another glass of water. Let's turn the light off. Yeah, that's good. So just bear with me. I'm just gonna blow. Guess what? It's gonna blow. It is. Ah, that's better. The sun was just far too bright. Because what happens is, obviously, as soon as you use the pop-up flash, the camera is then restricted. Because it can only use a maximum shutter speed of 200th of a second in the case with my 350D. This is the highest sync speed that it can use with a normal flash. If you use a shutter speed any faster than that, you start to see the shutter leaves, or curtains, as they come across the screen. And because I took a few shots with the pop-up flash on, and I was like, everything's overexposed. I couldn't quite figure out why to start off with. But it was precisely because of that. With the pop-up flash, the camera could only use a maximum shutter speed of 200th of a second. And because I was in aperture priority mode at F8, at ISO 200 or ISO 100, there was just too much light coming into the camera at 200th of a second. It wanted to shoot at like a 500th or even a 1,000th of a second. So I took a few shots and thought, oh, that's a bit strange. And then realised what was going on, and then stopped using the pop-up flash until we went into a situation where it was darker, whereby 200th of a second was too little, if you like, for the scene. It would have led to an underexposed scene, and then the flash lifts everything up that way. And that really just happened when we went to Stanley Park, which is a wooded area in Gosport, nice little posh park with some nice trees and a nice walk through with like a wood, and then some open areas with some grass, which were great for Valentina to run around and generally have good fun watching doggies playing all that sort of stuff. And I tell you what, after a few hours of running around after Valentina, I was really tired because it's been a long time since I've done that, but we had great fun and it was really good. So again, I got some nice pictures out of it. The two lenses, I didn't use the 55-250 that much, apart from when we were down on the beach and Suzanne and Valentina were near the water. So I backed off a bit, whipped on the longer lens, and used it at sort of one of its strengths, which is as a telephoto portrait lens. Mostly it was with the the wider angle 18-55, and it performed very, very well indeed. I was struggling a little bit with my depth of field. You know, when I was looking at the photographs afterwards, I thought, you know, I'd have liked a much smaller depth of field. You know, if you were shooting with something like an F50mm or something like that. But the problem you have is that when you are using this technique of shooting blind a lot and just sort of hanging the camera down and firing away, is that if you do go to even F3.5 or you put a 50 on and whack it down to 2 or 1.8, if your depth of field becomes too shallow, the chances of you getting an in-focus shot reduce drastically because the camera's autofocus will focus on, say, the chest of the child or something like that, and then their face will be out of focus. And this is a really strong case for face recognition. And so sometimes what you find is if you are shooting blind, if your camera's got face recognition, turn it on, because what will happen then is the autofocus system will choose the nearest face, focus on that and shoot. And I have read articles and blog posts by people who have, serious street photographers who have said, look, if you're shooting from the hip, where you're not looking through the viewfinder or looking at the live view screen, face recognition, autofocus is brilliant because it means the camera will always focus on somebody's face, and that makes the photographs really interesting that way. I'm also still doing a lot of processing through Picasa, Picasa 3 from Google, the free download, really getting the hang of that. I just like the speed, you know. With the pictures of Valentino, I probably took about over 300, and I'm never going to go through and post-process too many of them. I just want them as they come out of the camera, because it was a lovely day. The light was very, very nice. Okay, the photos might need a bit, little bit of maybe a contrast adjuster or white balance adjust, but I'm not going to do that with them because it was just about capturing the fun of the day. And Picasa 3 is great for doing that, for just looking quickly through your images, clicking on them, doing basic cropping. You can do more advanced things. You can really do some great black and white effects as well. And and I'm loving it. The only thing I haven't managed to figure out yet is a really good way to, when you're in Picasa, go into, say, Photoshop and then back into Picasa. At the moment, I tend to say, well, if there's a picture I want to work on in Photoshop, I'll open it in Photoshop first, then save it as a TIFF, you know, an uncompressed file, and then open it in Picasa afterwards. Picasa 3, really impressed. Much faster on my old computer than Adobe Bridge, and therefore much more useful. And as I mentioned last week, the geotagging feature, where you can just say, you can open up this little panel that has a map on it. So I took the photo here, and then when you save the photo or export it, it then embeds the latitude and longitude into the file. So when you upload it to Flickr or probably Facebook too, it shows you where you took the photo. And the face recognition as well. So, you know, you put in tags as to who was in this photo, and then the program recognizes those faces in other photos and suggests them too, so you can search for things by photo. Actually, one of the things I played with last night was I continued my test of the Nissan DI62 Mark II flash, and I'd been taking some pictures of a bust of a statue, using the flash at different angles, and I'll write a blog post over it in the next couple of weeks and do a video so you can see. But one of the things I wanted to do was, instead of having lots of different photos of the bust in different lighting conditions where I bounce the flash in different directions, I wanted to put them all into one photo as a collage. And doing this in Photoshop can be a bit long-winded, you know, you have to copy things into different layers and move them around. But with Picasa, one of the options to do is to create a photo collage, and then you have a load of different options. You can have a random jumble, you can have like a contact print look, you can move stuff around yourself, or you can get it to do things in a grid pattern, which I did, and all, boom, and it was done. Exported it as a photo, and it was done that way. Another cool thing I did as well was, Picasa 3 is also very good at creating simple videos from your photos as well. So you just select a load of photographs, say, make me a video out of these, and then you can choose the transition you want between the videos, and even which music you want to play as part of the slideshow, and then it will change the length that each photograph shows up for to fit in with the piece of music you've chosen. And that worked. I did a really nice slideshow of Valentino. Unfortunately, I can't really show it because I put some U2 music to it. I think it was Beautiful Day. And when I uploaded it to Facebook, it immediately recognised it had a U2 song and said, no, you can't use this, it's against copyright. So if I did it to YouTube, it would do the same thing. So there we go. But I may well, I don't know. I don't think I'm going to put any of these pictures in my Flickr photo stream, because they are, you know, quite personal for Valentino and stuff like that. You just have to imagine what the photographs are like. But yeah, good things from the two lenses, and going out and shooting blind. So if you're ever out in a situation with small kids, you are running around, where you've got to keep an eye on them, you know, you've got to be able to drop your camera and grab them before they run into the road or they fall over and stuff like that, shoot blind, get that camera nice and low, whack on the autofocus, whack on, get your aperture a little bit tighter than you normally would to expand that depth of field. If you've got face recognition on the autofocus, turn it on, because then the camera will focus on the right things without you having to look for the viewfinder, and just take lots and lots of photographs. And I would say, out of about, I'm sure I took about 350 photos, The slideshow I did with ones that I thought were okay, ended up at about 30 photos, which is a hit rate of about 10%. You know, and of those 30, probably 3 or 4, I would have thought, yeah, they're really, really nice. So, you know, 30 out of 300 odd, you know, 10% hit rate. So that's how many photographs you've got to take. You've got to take 300. And always remember, and I always keep this in my mind, that, you know, whenever you see films of professional photographers on shoots, doing shoots of models or anything, they are taking hundreds of photographs, aren't they? You know, think of that scene in the Austin Powers film, when he's, I think it's the first one, and he's doing a photo shoot and he's just going ching ching ching, just taking loads of photos and then throwing the camera at his assistant saying, Neil, load me. You know, but that's what you've got to do, because out of 1,000 photographs a professional photographer might take on one model shoot, you know, he'll take 1,000 just to get that one that is the cover shot. And that's photographer's luck. That's how you capture nice moments, by taking lots and lots and lots of photographs. Right, well, that's about it from me for this week. Thanks to everybody for taking part in the Flickr assignment. Still a couple of days left. If you want to go and take some photographs while you're at work and upload them to the Flickr group. Thanks for everybody for their comments on the Rubner Photocom blog and taking part in the discussions on the Flickr photo group as well. But most of all, thanks to you for downloading and listening to the podcast. My name is Rob from RobLovePhoto.com, and hopefully, pretty soon, I'll see you on Flickr.